Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, kids. Welcome to an all-new edition of the Metal Injection Livecast. Before we get to the show, how about a little pop quiz? If I put my metallic dick in your face, would you see me coming? No, you are incorrect. That was a trick question. I came about 30 seconds ago. Ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. Now here's the show.
We are back!
We have an amazing show tonight.
When Chuck Blandington comes, he comes like the T-1000 liquid mercury.
Like you guys heard of the new drop?
Good job, Rob.
That's a little preview of one of the comedy bits for wait a minute.
That guy sounded Pakistani.
He is actually literally Pakistani.
It's
Kumail
Nanjiani.
You're good, Sid. You remember names.
He's funny.
Why?
So I could go see him perform.
Okay.
If I don't remember his name, I'll just be like, when is that guy performing? And then they'll be like, well, who's that guy? I don't know, that the guy with the talks. And I'll never see him again.
Yeah, because there's so many other comedians with the first name Kumail.
Exactly, that's why you have to remember the name.
Well, I remember his first name, I don't remember the last name.
Do you remember that guy that was opening for David Cross that time that we went, Rob? The really funny one? I don't remember what his name is.
Is that Aziz Ansari?
No.
No, it was an Irish guy. Miserable Irish guy.
I don't remember, but that guy was funny.
Yeah. That's what you should remember.
Was he a leprechaun?
No. He was a big, angry Irish guy.
Was I there?
No.
Well, this is a show I didn't go to, right?
Correct. If you weren't there, that would definitely be a show that you didn't go to.
No.
That's
just making sure.
That works.
Just making sure.
So say what's on the show today.
Well, we have a huge show with two big guests. They've put on some wind. We have Greg Weeks from the Red Cord, and really for Metal Injection. I mean, he's really pretty much a correspondent at this point.
Yeah.
And he's going to be calling in because, of course, they put out their new CD, Fed Through the Teeth Machine, earlier this week, and it is amazing. He's going to be calling in pretty soon, actually, in the next couple of minutes.
Okay.
And also...
Oh, good!
Yeah, Rob is pleased. And later on in the show, from Between the Buried and Me, Paul Wagoner, and he will be on the show. And of course, Between the Buried and Me put out a CD this week called The Great Misdirects.
Have you heard both albums, Rob?
I have. I've been listening to them on repeat, basically.
Which one do you like more?
It's hard to say.
Why does someone like one better than the other?
I mean, they're very different.
Nothing is equal.
Sid's trying to create friction from when the guy calls.
Well, I think I like the Between the Buried and Me CD a little better.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you only saying that because you know your relationship with the Red Cord is so close that they won't be offended if you talk shit?
No, I mean, I'm pretty good friends with Between the Buried and Me as well, but...
So what do you have to gain by saying that you like their album more?
I don't have anything.
Record
you asked.
Stake here, man.
You asked me.
Sid can't believe that you're not just giving a cynical answer
just
for some reason.
Just calculated purpose behind his answer.
Can't believe that you're not just making something up and you're telling the truth.
No,
I'm being completely honest. So we have that. And, of course, this week, Darren, 3D, is completely in control of the playlist.
Uh-huh.
When we say completely, we mean that he... picked a bunch of songs, but we're also going to play Between the Buried and Me and a Red Cord song.
I consider that part of the show. Like, we're plugging their...
Right.
Their appearances, plugging their album.
But other than those tracks, Darren is picking a bunch of the music, and even if we don't get to all of it this week, we will play it next week.
Really, all it is like 18 Nazareth songs.
Yeah. How'd you know? Why are you going to spoil it for everybody?
The New York
and
fan.
I stuck a couple of Attack tracks.
Oh, no, you silly guy.
It's a loaded show. It was a good show.
We also got the new Slayer album.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to be playing New Slayer.
Is that allowed?
Not the whole album. I mean, you can find that online.
I think it's allowed because we could technically lie and say that we got a promo of it.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, tell the truth.
I mean, yeah, we got a promo of it.
What label are they on?
some small label. I think it's Sony.
Okay, we got a promo from Sony.
There we go. Label.
Never heard of them.
It's
Italian.
So is that why you're wearing your leather jacket today, Darren?
No, I wore it because it was cold, actually.
Mm. So cold today.
That's my go-to middle coldness level jacket. It's the MC jacket.
Right.
Haven't really been that level yet.
I like it because it matches my leather jacket.
So we should go out and do our grocery shopping and dress as metalheads together.
Arm in arm.
Okay.
Like an annoying metalhead couple, like the ones you see at the white trash fairs and stuff that wear the same outfit. But we'll be metal about it.
I would like to see that.
We should wear.
I think all four of us should have metal injection uniforms, and we could go out wearing them.
I think no one and I should wear linked nose chains, so we don't get separated.
Nobody sort of hug.
That would be pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. What if one of you drops a quarter and goes to get it?
Well, that'll be a problem. That won't be a problem because we're both Jews, so we're both. We'll immediately go to the
well,
coin
also,
at the
you're
same
both
time.
Jews, so your noses are so big that they reach to the floor anyway. That doesn't matter. Just snort that quarter right up. You don't even have to bend over.
We both have coin vacuums anyway, so we don't have to bend.
Yeah, anteaters.
Ah, Jew jokes early in the podcast.
Just get them all out there, guys. Get them all out there. You know, that's what I say. Another thing I wanted to talk about was me and Sid were watching the Colbert Report.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was pretty crazy. You never know when there's going to be a metal reference pulled on TV. But I posted about this on the site earlier today. I think it was today I posted mm-hmm. about it. But there's a new website called HollywoodIsCalling.com.
Uh-huh.
And basically it's like B and C level celebrities. Like
you're being generous.
D level celebrities. Basically, if you pay them $300.
It depends.
There's like a $19 voicemail call or like a. But then like for $300, they will read your resume for you in a video, which I don't understand why that's worth $300.
So it varies on how much of a loser they are, like how much it costs.
The prices seem to be flat. Like you,
no, it's
you,
about the medium and the length of time.
Yeah, oh, okay. you can get like a video chat with them. Mm-hmm. You could like basically, if you just go to LA and just hang out on the street, you can get the same thing from that person for free.
Right.
They're just roaming the street.
who's on this website?
Let's see.
A lot of people we never heard of. You remember that movie, An American Werewolf in London?
Sure.
Yeah.
That guy.
Is Thomas Howell?
No, David Naughton.
Mr. Belding.
Yeah.
Larry Holmes.
Lou Ferrigno.
Well, say the one
the
that's...
The gay guy off The Sopranos. The gay...
Vito?
Guy. Yeah.
Yep.
And Dave Ellison, former bassist of Megadeth.
You know what's sad is that Dave Ellison's like the most famous of those guys.
That's the one that that Stephen Colbert called out. I want to play this clip, but let me just cue it up. But yeah, pretty much he is basically the only guy that is somewhat notable and sort of worth it.
They have
not
him doing a sample, right?
Yeah. There we go.
Well, now you can really give your resume the star treatment. Thanks to HollywoodIsCalling.com. For just $300, a celebrity will videotape themselves reading your resume. What kind of celebrity? Only the creme de la 20 years ago. Stars like Lou Ferrigno, Lorenzo Lamas, and Sir Ben Kingsley. I'm sorry, I mispronounced that. I meant to say the guy who played the principal on Saved by the Bell. Just think how thrilling your cover letter will be when it's read by former Megadeth bassist David Ellison, as he does here.
Hello, my name is John Smith, and I'm a music teacher who has spent the last 10 years teaching music in Michigan. I've also come up with some unique new ways to make a music program self-supporting and revenue-generating, and I think it would be a great privilege to work for you, and I hope that you will give it consideration.
He could use a little bit more charisma.
Yeah, and first of all, why would he speak in the first person?
Yeah.
You know about that.
I'm John Smith.
He was given a piece of paper to read, and
that's pretty much what it looks like.
So do you want to hand that to your prospective employer?
Yeah, like who would?
Because you're not that guy, so why would he? He already thinks
you're a liar. Maybe your prospective employer is a big Megadeth fan.
True, but why don't you just have Dave Ellison say, "Hey, this is a spokesperson for Sid."
Well, you can have that too. You can. They'll read whatever you write.
But I'm saying, why give that as an example? Where he pretends to be you.
I don't know.
Is he going to come and do
the job?
They're
not even that creative. No, they won't offer you any creative ideas. That's all up to you.
This is already starting off on the wrong foot.
I read the FAQ. They're so strict with the rules. Like, you could have the celebrity at a predetermined time call up a friend or call you up for 30 seconds to say hello or happy birthday or whatever. And in the FAQ, it's like, if I pick up the phone instead of my friend when the celebrity calls, will the celebrity hold on while I go get my friend?
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's 30 seconds. Whenever that 30 seconds is up, that's it.
Oh, what if he's taking a dump?
It's so dickish.
Well, they have better things to do with their time.
Like, call other
celebrities.
Call other people. You do the same thing all day long.
For $75, they do your grocery shopping.
See, that I might piece them up on.
That would be
Jenny,
so bad.
Who's the new houseboy? Do you think Dave Ellison would do that?
Is he into feet?
I'm sure yeah, why not?
Hello, this is Dave Ellison, and I'm here to watch you walk around in high heels all day.
Do your laundry.
She walks around in flip-flops.
So should we say what the idea you had was, or you want to save it as
a
surprise?
What do you think, Rob?
I don't think we'll ever be able to pull it off, so definitely.
So definitely I could say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bring up the chat room, because I want to see the response of the fans to this idea. My idea was we collect $300, and we send Dave Ellison a resume to read, but the resume is Dave Mustaine's resume, as if he's applying to join Metallica again. Now, if he says no, we get our money back, no big loss. But if he does it, would that not be the coolest thing we've ever done?
I don't know why we're not doing it.
Is he even allowed to refuse?
No, yeah, they could refuse for whatever reason. And he probably will, but if not, I think that would be hilarious.
Say if they refuse, we get a full refund?
Yeah.
Well, if he doesn't do any of that...
Well, I don't see why not.
If he doesn't do that, we should make up other stuff, like applying to the KKK or something, you know.
I think the chat room approves.
We should just make up a whole bunch of different ridiculous things and make Dave Ellison say it.
People are into it. The chat room is into it, definitely.
Finally, I've won the chat room over to my side.
Jaren's tossed salad, we are not too poor. We can definitely pull that off.
Are you telling the real one?
We can have them pay.
No, the dude tossing your salad, he just
okay.
whispered into my ear. No, the guy in the chat room.
I thought my ass was talking. We should have our fans come up with funny things for Dave Ellison to say, and then we'll have them. We'll pick the best ones.
Yeah, send us some stuff. hatemail@metalinjection.net. What should
that
we get? We're going to do this. We're going to pay Dave Ellison $300 to do a video message for us.
We'll do it out of our own pocket.
Then again, we could just arrange an interview with him. I mean, it would be pretty much the same thing.
I guess we'll try that first, and if we can't get it for free, then we'll go this other route.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking right now, after the Colbert appearance, there's probably a lot of people trying to get interviews with him, because all of a sudden he's like...
No.
I think more than 2 days ago.
But he has a job.
What is his job?
He works A&R for Randall. Which is an amplification company, a speaker company, right?
Amps.
Yeah. So basically, he calls his friends and is like, "Hey, you guys want free amps?" They're like, "All right." He's like, "Okay, cool."
So John Smith needs a job.
Yeah.
No, he recruits. He's an A&R guy. He gets bands to get sponsored.
Yeah, that's he calls his friends and he's like, "Hey, you guys want free amps?"
Oh yeah, basically.
Were you even listening when I said that the first time?
No, I was not. I try to avoid you as much as possible.
Thank you.
That's hilarious. Right. Poor Dave Ellison.
I guess he really is poor.
Oh, you know what else we could do? How about instead of, if he rejects that, since it's like a video message, how about we just get him to read as if it's Metal Injection's resume and we're giving the resume to the fans? You should watch Metal Injection because, and he's just reading different, he's promoting Metal Injection.
I don't see I don't understand why we have to pay $300 for that.
You can write that shit off, no? It's promotion. Promotions budget.
There are plenty of bands that would do it for free.
But it's not as pathetic as sad little Dave Ellison doing it. There's this whole backstory to this.
Isn't it kind of pathetic, though, that we're paying him to do it?
Can you make him put on a tutu or something?
We could ask. But then we would be Dave Ellison's employers.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't that be pretty cool to say doing our work?
Us and Dave Mustaine. It would be in the same category.
Yeah.
Yeah, former employers, because we could say we fired him, too, and then we could release blabbermouth press releases about...
Metal Injection dissolves relationship with Dave Ellison. cite creative differences.
You can make t-shirts up with his face on it. You're fired.
This is endless. It's a gold mine.
Yeah, we
found a gold mine.
Is there anyone else? Do you have the list of other celebrities on there?
No,
I'm
no
like
musicians.
At least 90% were people even I had no idea who the
fuck
they were.
Give me an example.
Well, all right. One moment.
Vic Tabor.
Oliver Gruner.
Who's that?
He was in all these movies that I've never heard of. Virginia Hay.
I think
from
I know.
Farscape and Mad Max 2.
No, I thought I knew.
Tom Candiotti.
Picture Tom Candiotti.
Mentioned in Sexual Jeopardy.
Trina Parks.
Martin Lawrence.
Amber Smith. Sybil Danning.
James Hetfield. No.
Sid Haig from House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh, God. That guy's fucking creepy.
Do you know who put this website together?
Somebody's nephew.
There's
like.
Also a lot of professional wrestlers.
Yeah.
Really?
Lash LaRue.
Oh, Raven.
Raven?
Yeah, you can get Raven.
Well, of all celebrities,
yeah, like I think wrestlers would be the most down to do this because,
they don't have
any shame.
They need health insurance. That's
but right now, I think it's time for our first guest. On the line right now, we have Greg Weeks, bassist of the Red Chord and unpaid Metal Injection correspondent. Is that correct?
That's very true. That's why it takes me forever to get anything to you guys.
Greg, is it true you're going to be recording resumes for people?
Yeah, I've actually sent out using that undercover footage. I've sent that out to many news affiliations across the country, and a lot of people have bitten. A lot of people have bitten, is all I'm saying.
Sweet. And I just want to remind all of our millions of listeners right now that you can talk to Greg from the Red Chord by giving us a call. Our number is 646-929-1357. Now, Greg, you guys just put out your CD, Fed Through the Teeth Machine, a few days ago. How does it feel?
It's pretty awesome. And I just want to warn you, it might get loud. I'm actually at a Mastodon show right now, and they're about to play. So you may hear awesome Mastodon coming in as I answer questions.
Wait, Mastodon is on right now?
Yeah, they're playing right now. And if you want, I can maybe yell out requests. If any of your callers want to call in and say, this Mastodon song, maybe I can yell it to them. Converge just got off stage. They were unbelievable. But yeah, my new record... It's fucking Fed Through the Teeth Machine. It was out the 27th. We play some guitars and bass and drums on it, and some guy yells and get it. And if you don't want to get it, then don't get it. That's kind of how I see it.
That's the pitch. Yeah, I think we have our first fan on the line wanting to ask you a question, if Noah stops tweeting. 203, you are on the Zach Beats hotline. Are you there?
I am.
Who is this?
This question's for Greg. I just, first off, wanted to congratulate you and the rest of the Red Chord on an amazing release. Really fantastic album. What I really want to talk to you about is your full-time band, Plant Bacchestra. I know you guys just got back from the world tour with Woody Guthrie and Bjork, so you must be pretty exhausted after that. But the pressing question on everybody's mind is, when are we seeing a new release?
Well, it's funny that, and I would like to thank Woody and Bjork for opening up for us. I know it was a big... We had a long list of famous people we wanted to bring out on the road, and they really stepped up. And I know Woody took about $100 a night, and Bjork did $200 for main support. So,
wow.
Which is a surprise. I mean, when you have fans of that caliber who are willing to do that, it just makes you feel like you're doing the right thing. And but as far as the new release, we're looking the next time Red Chord and Between the Bear and Me go out on the road together. We are definitely, Tommy, myself, and Gunface are going to sit down and start tracking the new record. We have a lot of ideas on the table right now, a lot of weird sounds. And, you know, hopefully we're looking at a late 2010, early 2011 release with World Tour to accompany it. Yeah.
Can you give us a preview?
You know what? I'd love to, but, you know what? I should. Gunface is right upstairs, but, you know, we can't. It's a secret. It's under wraps for now, and I apologize, but
we can't give too much away.
You know, we'll,
right,
you know, text, leave your contact information with Rob, and we may we'll leak it early to you before it leaks to anyone else before the record comes out.
Excellent. All right, Sean the faggot.
You get first. Yeah, you get first leak.
All right, thank you for your call. And I don't know about Sean. I don't know. Those rumors aren't that true. Anyway, Greg, you know, like we mentioned, like we just mentioned, Between the Buried and Me also put out a CD this week. You know?
Yeah, they did. They did.
They put out the Great Misdirect. Now, both of your CDs come out the same week, and with the economy the way it is, some people can't afford to buy both CDs, right?
Oh yeah.
So,
I'll let you know about this. I'll tell you about the bums in Between the Buried and Me. Everyone thinks they're Southern gentlemen, but I'll tell you, they're just a bunch of, you know, for lack of a better term, not nice people. They're very rude. They've pushed me on several occasions, and I'd just like to say, it came out on the same exact day, same exact hour, you know, Monday at midnight, Tuesday morning, whatever you want to call it, on the 27th of October this year. And I'd like to say that if you're going to buy one, you should definitely not buy ours, because it's not as good as theirs. Theirs, I think, is longer. They have more members to make it a better record. Their songs are better, and they're better looking. And Dan, the bass player, doesn't wear shoes. Tommy's very thin and attractive, and they have keyboards. So do not get our record and get theirs, even though they push people around.
Wow. Wow. Breaking news. The bassist of the Red Chord says do not buy our record.
Yeah, don't do it.
Soon to be on Blabbermouth.
I like it. So you're saying there's some drama. I like this drama that you guys are creating between.
Yeah,
the
one
two
time, one time their drummer Beef looked at me, and I did not like it.
Wow! Wow! Unbelievable!
Oh.
Unbelievable!
Looked right at me. It was awful. And then we got Dusty, who you know, I mean, the kid's name is Dusty, and you know, Paul with his long hair now, like a hippie. I don't know. I don't like any of this. I don't like. But get their record because it's really good.
Now, you know, this whole controversy thing, it's good because it'll create, you know, create press releases, and you guys can go back and forth, right? It can get some traction in the news.
Yeah, it's true. It's and I hope people believe it. We really dislike each other. Every time we tour, it's separate dressing rooms, separate jets. We don't even take the same jet to every show now. It's tough. No personal helicopters, you know. It's all about jets nowadays, and we don't even share a jet.
Things have changed.
Well, you know, we used to be friends. We used to be friends, and now that just all went out the window when we released an album on the same day, and theirs was better, you know.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Now, in our chat room, we have a live chat going on as the show happens. Rich Hall asks, what is your favorite place to poop when you're on tour?
The ladies' room of any venue.
Good answer.
Because it's really not as, ironically, not as bloody or puke-filled or covered in shit as the men's room. Not to say that it isn't, it's just not as much.
Just somewhat.
Yeah. Gross.
It's a more livable amount of blood and feces.
Yeah.
Speaking of blood and feces, you guys are on tour with Gwar right now.
Yeah.
Segue.
I'm sure that's been pretty eventful every night.
Well, it's funny because we toured with them in 2006, and it was us getting booed every night. And but this time we're not actually getting booed anymore, and I kind of miss that.
Wow.
I'm confused now. Opening for Gwar now was confusing for me because, you know, the kids are two and we suck. And I know we suck, but we don't want anyone else to know that. And so then to not get booed right off the bat on these Gwar shows is really confusing to me. So I encourage anyone who's listening to come out and boo us when we open for Gwar, because it'll make me feel better about my life. And it'll make it easier to play.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that sounds like an idea. All right, we'll put that in the press release. And now we have another caller on line
here we
go. 214, you are on the phone with Greg Weeks, bassist of Red Chord and vocalist of Plant Vodka Storm.
Hey, Greg, I'm calling to tell you that your album is better than Between's, hands down.
Wow. What did you say? It was better than what?
It's better than Between's new album. He's
breaking up here, but he said it's better than the Between the Buried and Me record. 214, do you have a question?
I'm calling to ask him about the ending of Sleepless Nights in the Compound. Riff where it slows down and there's tapping, it sounds remarkably similar to a Thursday song. I just thought that was kind of weird. I'm asking, is that like a tapping technique? Like, what's up with that?
Well, I don't really discuss anything with Gunface. Everyone in the band kind of does their own thing, and I haven't actually met anyone else in the band, so when they're in the studio, I'm there, so I don't know what the hell he did. It is rumored, though, that he did tap the entire thing. He, I believe, holds the chord down with his right hand because he's a freak of nature and was born a lefty, and he taps with his left hand and then moves the chord. And I don't know, I'm a bass player, so I usually just ride the E, but that's what I'm told. I think that's what he does. Again, I try not to look at him when he plays. I try not to look at any of my band members when they play the instrument, so I don't really know what they do. But yeah, that's the closest thing as I could tell, if I remember it being described to me through other people who saw him do it.
Right. Well, thank you for your call, 214. Now we have a call from New York. You are on the line with Greg. Is this Rich Hall?
Hello?
Hello. This is definitely Rich Hall.
Mom?
No, you're on the Metal Injection Livecast.
Oh, Greg, hi.
Bassist of the Red Chord.
Oh, hi. I like that band.
I don't.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, my question. Where is your favorite place to poop on tour? I know there's a lot of options, gas station, rest stop, you know, hotel. What's your favorite place?
Well, I answered this earlier via your, I believe it was some sort of blog or email. I'm not good with technology or technological terms. It could have been a twat or a twit or something, but something happened where the question was. Yeah, the question was asked, but I'll answer again. The ladies' room is always good, or on a kid who comes to the show. One of those two.
Wow.
G. Allen.
Yeah. More of in my hand, and then I throw it, as opposed to like a nice area where I can sit down. So.
Like howler monkeys, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I want them to answer the question. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in, Rich Hall. Time is winding down on Greg's time on this show. He's a very busy celebrity, so if you want to call in, you better hurry up. The number is 646-929-1357.
Yeah, I got a lot to do. I have a shitload of stuff to do. You guys are really taking up all my time here. I got to take a nap. I think tomorrow I'm hanging out with my mom. Going to go visit her. And then I think I might nap some more, maybe play Arkham Asylum for 360. You know, it's tough. You guys are interrupting all this shit.
I apologize. Your publicist said it was cool.
Publicist
being you.
By the way, was Rich Hall out of breath? Was he running while he was asking that question?
I think he got, like, the whole dialing of the phone seemed like a big problem. For him.
Losing his mind. He's talking about taking a shit and sweating, and I don't even know what the hell he was doing, but
he
loved it.
He must have one of those rotary phones, so like that whole process of dialing.
Yeah, it takes a long time. I mean, people used to have very strong index fingers, and now it's thumbs. Now with the invention of the cellular telephone, it's thumbs.
Yeah. And Greg, Keith in the chat wants to know what your 360 gamer tag is so he can play against you.
I will tell you this. There's no way I'm giving that shit out. Are you kidding me? Joking me right now so I can have all you people trying to contact me and then, you know, you kick my ass in every game and go, dude, I just beat that dude. You know why? Because I'm practicing rock and roll. All right? That's why I'm going to lose to you.
Hey, what's up?
There's no way. Love it.
I didn't think that was going to happen.
Right.
I just thought I'd ask.
Now, let me ask you, Greg, on this album, you guys were a four-piece, right?
Yeah. Yes, we still are.
Right. That's true. Now, did you
like
feel
that?
As a four-piece now, you kind of have to, like, step it up? You have to, like, actually do stuff? Because, you know...
No. Well, why, you know, why fix what's not broken? We never really did stuff.
So even if they were doing stuff, it wouldn't be him doing it. Well, I mean, he has to carry some of the rhythm, doesn't he?
Oh, I thought you were going to say he has to carry some of the gear.
Oh.
Because that's probably...
No, we don't do that.
No, we don't carry our own gear. Are you shitting me? Come on now. I'm getting old. Sit up. Check this out.
Shit out, kids.
We actually, I mean, you guys have seen us. We don't actually put any effort into the show to begin with. So when we lost a member, you'd think we'd try to step it up. But, in fact, we've actually stepped it down, and we lie down on stage now because there's more room.
Oh.
Which we've always wanted to do. And we're just that lazy. It's a good time to stretch out, take a nap, play some songs if we feel like it. So come out and see us and, you know, be prepared to be let down and bored.
Right. Now, you guys are going to be touring pretty heavily, right? Like after Christmas in 2010. Is there going to be some big touring, big plans?
We're hoping to get the fuck out of the U.S. for a while and then come back into the U.S. and rage. I think those are the plans.
Wow. So
I do January off. I've got January off, so I don't know. Maybe I'll do a one-man show.
Lots of hanging out with your mom in January, right?
Yeah, lots of mom hang time, you know, the New Year's and all. Speaking of which, are you guys going to sorry for any listeners. This isn't for you guys. Rob, are you guys going to be at NAMM this year?
I think we might. We actually are planning on going.
Yep.
Well, I'm actually going this year. It's the first time I've ever gone, so I'm going to go.
Oh, wow. Maybe. Yeah. Well, if you're going, we're definitely going to have to get you to do some wild
stuff. I might break some stuff. You know me. I'm out of control crazy.
Totally, totally. Well,
so,
Greg, I really appreciate you taking the time out of seeing Mastodon and Converge to give us a call and hang out with us for a few minutes. We want to play a Red Court song from the new album, so we want to ask you what your favorite track is so that we can bootleg it on our radio show for free for people.
Good, good. Well, obviously it's going to be one of mine because I don't give a shit about any of Mike's songs. So let's do one that includes Jesse from Stick to Your Guns. He is a very short man, and but I don't know the actual name of it. I only know the working title. If I hum it to you, will you know? It's near the end. I can tell you that. It's The Ugliest Truth. That's what it's called.
That actually is the final song title, or at least the title that I have.
Yes. No, it is. It is what it was called. The working title was Jesse's Boy, because I wrote the song specifically to have Jesse sing on it, and then I thought it would be funny to allude to the fact that he's a homosexual by calling it Jesse's Boy.
I kind of hear Mastodon a little bit in the background. It's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, keyboards. You love it. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a Yes show. You're making me miss it. You're making me
I'm
miss
sorry.
It. That's okay, though.
I'll let you go enjoy that. And
right.
Thanks again, dude, for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Definitely. Anytime, Rob.
Make sure to pick up the Red Chords new CD, Fed Through the Teeth Machine, if you aren't actually picking up the Between the Buried and Me CD. Is that correct?
Yeah, are you talking to me? Because I already own it. I mean, we got copies in advance, so.
Okay, cool. Well, here they are, the Red Chord on the Metal Injection Livecast. Thanks a lot, Greg.
All right, see you soon.
story about the two kids that were big fans of this group, Judas Priest, and they committed suicide, and the parents of these two kids sued the band, Judas Priest. Okay, first of all, two kids, big fans of Judas Priest, commit suicide. Wow. Two less gas station attendants in the world, you know. Yeah, I don't mean to sound cruel here, but I don't think we lost a cancer cure here, you know. Look, there's going to be no delays in the shuttle launch because of this. You understand? They weren't that integral part. No, no, Bill, you sound so cruel. Fuck them. They were idiots. Get it? Okay. But the point is, they tried to prove that there are subliminal messages on these albums telling you to kill yourself. Let me ask you a quick question, which, by the way, failed to come up at the trial, which they had. What performer wants his fucking audience dead? I don't get the long-term game here. What are these guys in the band thinking? I'm fucking sick of it. I'm fucking sick of it. Yeah, sick of it. What are you sick of? The whole fucking thing. Touring. Making $40,000 a night. Free drugs. Free booze. Stretch limos. Penthouse suites. Groupies blowing me down to dust. I'm in a rut and I want out. And then we have all those shows coming up. I know. It's so unless. Here, Nigel, come in. Oh, shit, Nigel, get in. Ian, come down. I've had an idea. Let's kill the fucking audience. Nigel, go get a fucker ball. Ian, come in. We're going to kill them. We can see if we can go back to our day jobs. We can sell shoes again. Why would they fucking do that? Why would the band do that? Why? Because it's not a band, Bill, Mr. Dressed in Black. Say fuck every other word out of your mouth, cynical humanist you. It's the devil. Oh, well, that's different. The devil. That still exists, that concept? Does it really exist still? The devil? A devil really exists? Does it really, y'all? Well, tell me something. What could oppose God's will? Nothing, could it? This is a delightful little realization. Nothing could oppose God's will. Nothing. What about my will? I can't run there. Okay. Remember a few years ago, is if you played albums backwards, there were satanic messages. Now they're subliminal. Isn't it nice to know Satan's keeping up with all these new technological achievements? What a little busy beaver he is. I picture him at Radio Shack every Monday morning. What new things do you have for me today? Remember that a few years ago? You play albums backwards, they're satanic messages. Let me tell you something. If you ever sat around playing your albums backwards, you are Satan. Don't look any further. And don't go ruining my stereo to prove a fucking point. Come here. Listen. Can you hear that? Satan is Lord. Yeah, it's crystal clear. Check this out. It's almost like he's in the room or something. Ah, you're Satan! Satan, destroyer of needles, ruler of stereos. I am Satan, and I have come to destroy high fidelity music. You will all listen to 8-Track.
Ah, the deceiver!
So dope. This is for lessons of playing and sound music. That's the truth. It's our blaster before. They'll never care for the brothers and sisters that come because we have a hope of the war. We got to get it straight.
Come on.
Now, they're going to have to wait
till we get it right.
Radio stations are questioning their blackness. They call us a black, but let's see if we're waiting.
Carry it up. Bring the noise.
Thank you. heart you were still and most of them wild away. Proceeded just a mile down the highway from IKEA. Returned to 30 days and taken back to Cardinal Visa. Credit! Welcome in an age of distrust! Liquid nation, impressive price, roll back! Hunting offers luxurious clothing in unbelievable prices. The red stores with their shears cannot be smirched up. Come trade your old wretched for a credit for the purchase. Exchanges, welcome in an age of distrust. Liquid nation, compulsive shoppers. Arunas of the trenders.
Ladies and gentlemen, the store will be closing in exactly one burst. Please make your final selections and make your way to the closest cash register, as our store will be closing in exactly one burst.
Undisputed Avenue to get the fuck out of here.
This is your announcer, Chuck Blandington. Pop quiz time. What has got 8 eyes, 2 breasts, and no foreskin? It's the Metal Injection Live Cast.
Part of it?
Again,
yes, that was part of it.
Ron has shoved the funfetti cake into his mouth. The full cake. You didn't even take a bite out of it. You just shoved it into your mouth.
Good. Thank you, Jenny. What does funfetti mean?
It's those rainbow sprinkle things inside.
Got it. I have no idea what that is. But, yeah, we're back. In case you're just tuning in, you totally missed Greg from the Red Cord. Called in. It was hilarious. You missed part of the Mastodon to hang out with us.
That was really nice of him.
Yeah.
Cool. Whatever, he probably got into the show for free. No big loss for him.
Of course, because he's a fucking celebrity.
Yeah. He's probably got a promo of the Mastodon album. He's not missing anything. And honestly, sure, every Mastodon, I mean, they're not bad, but every song sounds the same.
Okay.
Well, as long as he hears one
How many Mastodon songs have you heard? One.
Like a third of like 4 different songs. And sound like
no.
The same third.
When we shot The Intervention, we played like the whole Mastodon album. In the car. We played a whole album, didn't we?
Not when I was driving.
When we went to that Mexican restaurant.
What Mexican restaurant?
I forgot the name of it. Remember we...
Oh, but I was driving and I don't recall.
I thought we played... Oh, maybe I'm wrong. By the way, for first-time listeners, that was not Slayer that just played. That was a parody that we did called South of Trenton.
Ew, and Sid.
Well, I got some of the cream sauce on my headphone cord, so I...
Whoa, cream sauce.
You have, like, drool going down your hands.
Where?
Right there. Disgusting.
It's not drool, it's a piece of cake.
Anyway.
Ugh. Tastes even better the second time.
We also played Bring
like
the Noise.
Pussy.
Bring the Noise by Anthrax and Public Enemy, Comedy Bit by Bill Hicks, and The Ugliest Truth from The Red Cord.
Mm-hmm.
And still to come on the show, we have Paul from Between the Bear and Me. He's going to be joining us very shortly. Oh, we have a caller on the line. 917, you are on the Zach Beats hotline. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, it's Jenny. Hey.
Sid, are you eating cake?
What?
Yes, he is eating cake.
Yes,
yes.
Are you supposed to be eating cake?
What do you mean? Of course I am. It's delicious. I said thank you.
Why is he not supposed to be eating cake?
Because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And if he didn't do it, then he didn't get cake.
What's he supposed to do?
He's supposed to meet a nice young lady off of Geek to Geek.
Oh, I thought she wanted him to clean his toilets. To her toilets, I mean.
Yeah, apparently, I've been on an assignment.
We gave Sid the login information for Geek to Geek.
We have a lot of new listeners. You should go backtrack and say what you did for Sid.
All right, so Jenny and I... So Jenny and I put Sid on this matchmaking website because we want to try to find him a nice girl.
Uh-huh.
So we created a profile for him, and we said that we were looking to set him up, and we talked to two girls, and he didn't like any of them.
Can I just say, I don't want to interrupt you, but I have to point out that I looked through that site with Sid, and about 90% of those girls are absolutely heinous and disgusting. And one of them, here's the fucked up part, is that that we were on the air last week, and Jenny and Noah both say, this girl would be perfect for Darren. Oh, she'd be perfect for Darren. I look, and the girl looks like she has fucking bee stings all over her fucking face.
But aren't you into that, Darren?
No.
Like bee stings?
No, you're mistaken.
She looked like she had a fat booty.
So what? That's not like I'd rather have a girl with a skinny booty.
That booty is attached to a human being.
You guys are being so mean to that girl, and she's really not that bad. And I showed other people, good-looking people, her picture, and they were like, she's not hideous. She's not that bad.
Wait, what did you just say, Jenny? Say that again.
She's not that bad.
No, the part before that.
Oh, she's not hideous.
No, before that.
She showed the photo to good-looking people.
Yeah. So that's basically, the given is that we here are not good-looking people. So people who are better-looking than us, therefore their opinions count more than ours, and they disagree with what we said.
Hey,
therefore we should just
agree
with what
we said. That's not what I meant.
Good-looking blind people?
No, what I meant was I was asking good
to see if she was attractive.
Is there a geek in Braille?
No, to validate.
Website?
By the way, at least I'm having sex, unlike some people on the phone right now.
Listen, I have plenty of sex. I'm not saying I don't have sex.
She just doesn't enjoy it. She doesn't want any.
I'm just saying there's better things to do sometimes.
Oh. Okay. Like crocheting.
Like making funfetti cakes.
No,
like
I agree with weed.
Like Dexter Marathon.
Oh, yeah.
While getting fucked. Just do it doggy style and face the TV screen.
No, because I'm usually with her when we're watching Dexter.
So you have a guy, too. You can have a four-way going on while you're watching the show.
Ew, it's his sister.
I want to know who these people are that thought that bitch was attractive. I want to see.
Yeah.
Please, names.
My brother.
Oh, you're lying. Get him on the phone.
And Tal.
I think she was
I was going to say whatever you want him to say to end the conversation.
That's
a
good point.
Sid, ew.
But Tal said that you need a makeover, Sid. He's if Sid looked like such a slob, he wouldn't have issues. So Jenny and I, the next
we're going to take you shopping.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
When you get paid.
Yeah, it has to be with your money, of course.
It's not like I'm broke until I get paid.
You understand the end result of this is that they hook you up with someone that looks like fucking Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, basically. Basically,
no, kid, we're going to find
that's
you.
Their opinion of what you should be
with. Yeah, I should be happy with whoever decides to open their legs for me. I should just be grateful and marry them.
I saw your girlfriend was cute. She was had a weight problem, but she had a nice face.
That's most of the girls that I'm with.
Yeah, she wasn't ugly at all.
No.
Whatever.
And,
let's say,
better than that hideous creature on the fucking site.
Yes. Settle down, Darren.
I just want to say, if there are any ladies that are attractive or not attractive, give us a call, 646-929-1357. Sid wants to hear from you.
Oh.
Or if there are any guys that sound like ladies,
Well, if there are any ugly guys listening, call up and Noah will date you because she likes ugly people, apparently.
Right, exactly.
She finds ugliness attractive.
No, she likes Jesus-looking guys.
What?
You have to look like Jesus.
If you look like Jesus, call in. I'm guessing most of the people who listen to our show either look like regular Jesus or fat Jesus. So one way or the other, it's a win-win, Noah. Maybe the Googler. I bet the Googler looks like Jesus.
We should try to set up Noah with the date. We need to put Noah on Geek to Geek.
What's the guy from Strapping Young Lad?
No, I don't want to go on. I don't want to be on Geek to
Geek.
Oh,
all of a sudden
help.
I'm so offended.
The big fat drummer, what's his name?
Who?
The
from
big
where?
Fat drummer from Strapping Young Lad.
Oh, Gene Hoagland.
Yeah, yeah.
He
looks
the machine.
He looks like fat Jesus.
There you go,
he's
man.
Hot.
See,
I like Gene Hoagland. He's fucking hot.
Rob.
So go to Geek and say you like guys that look like Gene Hoagland.
Yes, Jenny? Did you just call my name?
I found a very good dating website for you.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I'm ready for it. Hit me.
Elvis
it's
to Elvis.
I think it's called metallove.com.
What? Are you making these sites yourself?
Yeah, I think so. Check the domain ownership. It's probably Jenny.
Well, actually, this is probably one of Rob's websites. Fucking domain name.
No, there's Goth Date. I've seen like a Google ad.
Oh,
for
Vampire Freaks.
Well, no, Vampire Freaks is like a MySpace.
No, it's metal-dating.com, the worldwide metal community dating site.
But really, Rob's not even that metal.
Oh, okay.
You could go on like HotTopic.com and find somebody.
Ew.
Let's see what type of...
The one that I was looking at yesterday was metaldating.net.
Oh, there's a .com and a .net.
Mm-hmm.
Rob actually, when he looks for women, he usually goes to hepatitisregistry.org.
They'll have to have sex with me.
Yeah.
I get many.
I wonder if there is. There's like an STD date.com.
Probably is.
Check out the him site.
I would be too scared to put a profile on this site.
Why?
Well, you're not metal. Yeah, no, I'm not.
Some decent looking dude. Maybe I'll apply to this and then.
I think Rob's gonna be distracted from the live cast
yeah.
for the rest of the
All right,
night.
You guys
should
go find some ladies.
So Dick, can we take you shopping?
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, we're gonna take
please.
You to men.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
They're gonna buy you a toupee.
That's just not me. I'm not. I don't have to shave myself.
Back up.
Yeah.
No. What do we have to do to get you to let us take you shopping?
Some lesbo shit?
No, ew.
Talk dirty to Noah right now.
No, what?
Captain Shanks in the chat room is saying, Hi Times runs a dating site.
There you go, Rob. That's all you.
That's
the girls, they're already fucked up, so their judgment is already impaired.
Yeah,
first
I mean, they can't run away.
Yeah.
No, stop. All right, fuck it. Whatever.
You got some weed? All right, I guess I'll come out. There you go. That's probably where Noah has a profile.
Stop. Don't show them.
You know what their motto is at that site? No means why not.
No means whatever. Our number again is 646-929-1357. It's 7 in French.
It's Cajun.
Cajun, all right.
Goodbye so I can hang up the phone.
Yeah, get out of here, Jenny. We're done with you. I don't know, should we take another quick music break before we put Paul on the line?
Why not?
Yeah, let's see what Darren has chosen for us.
All right, more music from Darren. And since Darren only had one comedy bit, Sid had a comedy bit that keeps accidentally playing throughout the show.
Yeah,
that's why you keep hearing a Pakistani man in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, other than the normal Pakistani man.
The guy that's tied up in the closet.
Wait a minute, let's go
Rob.
Anyway, in this break, we're going to hear Suicidal Tendencies, Entombed, and maybe some crotch duster if we have time.
Ooh.
On the Metal Injection live cast. And as soon as we come back, Paul will be here. Or, like, shortly after we come back.
Whatever.
No, okay. I'm not that type of street name for it. It's like a new drug cocktail called cheese. And I read like four or five news reports on it. They were like, there's this new drug called cheese that's sweeping the nation. Kids in the Midwest are doing it. It's an epidemic. It's a new drug. It's an epidemic. Then I looked up where cheese. cheese is? Cheese is Tylenol PM and heroin. So really, it's heroin. It's mostly heroin. Heroin's doing the heavy lifting in this gut cocktail. It's not a new drug. It's mostly heroin. I can't put heroin on pancakes and go, I have a new drug. I call it shake cake. You eat them every day. If you stop, you'll get the shake. Don't forget the special shake sauce. It's maple syrup and heroin. Pour that on there. It's not a new drug, is my point. It's mostly heroin. I think the last new drug was crystal meth, which you had to make in your bathtub. And if you fucked up while you were making it, everything would explode and you would die. That's how dangerous that drug is. Just trying to make it can kill you. And you make it just from shit you get at the store. To make cheese, you still need heroin. Just do the heroin. You already have heroin. Just do the heroin. That's my message to you guys tonight.
All right, we are back. We're cutting that Entombed song short because right now it's time for our special guest of the second hour who just hung up on us.
Oh, no!
All right, back to Entombed.
Yeah, he wanted to hear more Entombed.
All right.
He was pissed. All right, back to Entombed.
Okay, good.
Wait, he's back. Let's just...
that was... a bad idea.
Let's just get to the call. On the line right now is our special guest from Between the Buried and Me. You have Paul on the line. Paul, are you there? Paul, are you
hi.
There?
Paul? Paul?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is Dan. I'm a fan. I don't know if you expected this to be Between the Buried and Me.
Yes. I did. I think he has the same zip code as you.
Where are you calling from, Dan?
I'm calling from Kansas. Hayes, Kansas.
Okay, so he doesn't have the same zip code as you, but it's
Rob.
It's very similar.
Okay,
do you want to pretend to be Paul?
Yeah.
Stop and tomb for this guy?
Everyone wants
hey, I'm
to
Dan
Paul.
The Mexican man, so I'm cool, so don't you worry.
Say something very interesting.
Yeah.
What's up, Dan, the Mexican man?
Nothing. I just first want to thank you guys for Metal Injection. I love it, and it's fucking hilarious, and it's cool, and it's neat, and hip, and awesome. And is Greg there right now?
Excuse me?
Is Greg from the Red Cord there?
No, he was on earlier. He was also on the phone.
Damn.
We could pretend to be Greg. Well,
by the way, Dan, I just want to say everyone in our chat room fucking hates you right now.
Yes.
Because you're not Paul. You're hurting me. I thought I'd like to let you know that all that hate is on your head.
Do you have anything to say to them?
They're great musicians and they're awesome and they melt my ears. Oh, the people in the chat? People in the chat can lick my taint.
All right, thank you very much, Greg. We have another caller. We're gonna pick him up so we're not rude.
All right, take care, guys.
About taints.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
All
right, we have another.
Yeah, I went to Kansas a few years ago and showed them all about
nice.
Paints.
We have another caller on the hotline who is not Paul from Between the Bear and Me.
Darren is like the Johnny Appleseed of paints.
Johnny Appleseed.
734.
I saw that movie.
All right, guys.
Sorry for doing material. Shit.
734, you're on the line. Are you there?
Yeah.
Who is this?
This is Joe.
What's up, Joe?
Not much. What's up with you?
Hanging out. Do you have a question of some sort?
yeah. I was wondering when Paul's going to cut his hair.
Well, Paul's not on the phone yet, but he should be calling in momentarily. He might be on the line right now, but we're on with you. But keep listening, and maybe he'll call in. We have another caller we're going to get to. Thanks for calling in, Joe. 480, you are not Paul from Between the Parent and Me, but who are you?
Hey, it's Nina.
Who is this?
Nina.
Oh, Nina. Oh.
Yes.
It's
the Mexican that called in a couple of weeks ago.
Of course.
It's Ms. Freshundel.
The Mexican.
Yeah, the Freshundel girl.
What's going on? Are you a fan of Between the Parent and Me?
I don't know who they are.
Oh,
well, you do
now. I feel pretty bad.
You know what, Nina? The whole chat hates you too now.
Too bad.
I'm sorry. Hey, at least I make an effort to like find out more bands. Others are just like
exactly.
The mainstream.
Exactly. Good job.
Okay,
thank
Nina.
You,
I'm sorry.
Noah?
We're going to have to cut this short because we finally have Paul from Between the Buried and Me on
the line. Oh, my God.
Thank you for calling in, Nina. But right now, for real this time, we have on the line the guitarist of Between the Buried and Me, one of my favorite people. Paul, are you there?
I'm here. What's going on?
Finally.
Hey.
Well, we're out of time, so no, it's good.
Paul, there are a ton of people in our live chat room right now going nuts, splooging, because you're on the line. Before you came on, they were all talking about what they were going to ask you and like all these questions. It's like a girl getting ready for a date. You know, that's what. So if you guys want to call and talk to Paul, it rhymes. Our number is 646-929-1357. So Paul, let's talk about your album, The Great Misdirect. First of all,
yeah.
Who is Miss Direct? And have you ever met her husband, Mr. Direct?
It's actually the Great Mist Erect.
Oh.
I think I saw that movie.
Yeah.
Cool. And so, I mean, it's an awesome record.
Thank
very
you.
Epic. I like
you.
It a lot.
Thank
and, you can keep thanking me. That's fine. I have a bunch of questions, but I think we should get some fan questions because our lines are blowing up.
Are you saying you're not a fan, Rob?
Well, the fans of anyway.
You're a fan, and if you ask questions, that could also be fan.
Okay,
questions.
Moving on. let's take 407 first because I think the 754 we just talked to. 407. You are on the line on the Metal Injection livecast with Paul from Between the Bear and Me. What is your question?
Hi, Patricia, I just have one question. Who won that ball game?
Who won that ball game? Well, there's a lot of ball games going on in the world today. The one you're speaking of, though, in reference to the little YouTube clip from the Colors album, I can't remember who won that game. I want to say the Cleveland Cavaliers won that particular game. But I could be wrong.
Are you sure Cavaliers won that ball game? That's really all I want to know.
I'm pretty sure that's who won that particular game.
Well, I mean, that's about it. I mean, I really have no other questions.
All right, Cavaliers.
Great question. And did I mishear him, or did he call me Paul Trucci?
Yes,
Petrucci. Everyone is calling you Paul Petrucci tonight.
Paul, I think he actually like combined the names. I think he
It's Paul Trucci. People in the chat room are confirming this.
It's like Brangelina.
Yeah. Wow. I never dreamed that I would become one of those hybrid names like that. It's great.
Well, you're so great that you were a combination name with just yourself without even marrying anyone.
All right, we got to get through these questions quick because there are a bunch of them happening. I think our lines are packed now. So let's start at 734. Really quickly, what is your question for Paul from Between the Barony 734?
Hey Paul, I was just wondering when you're gonna cut your hair. I've been waiting, man.
You want me to cut my hair?
Yeah, dude.
You don't like the long hair?
I think I like the short look better.
Really?
Yeah, it's badass in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean the short look is a good look, but I had that look for about 27 years. And then I went with something different. I don't know. You know, I probably will cut it eventually. But,
you heard it here first.
Wow.
I've grown a little bit attached to it.
Breaking news.
Okay. Thank you very much for your question.
Kenny Powers on the line, by the way. Thank you very much, Kenny.
908, you are on the Metal Injection livecast with Paul. What is your question?
That's Jersey.
Uh, 908, you're on delay here.
Cut him.
Sorry, 908, we're going to have to let you go.
That was Thor Schreudstein.
908, lower your speakers and give us a call back. 203, let's go to 203. I think this is the most calls we've ever gotten. Yeah. 203, you're on the line with Paul from Between the Baron and Me. What is your question?
Hey, what's up, Paul? I just had a quick question. Why'd you abandon us on your forums, man?
Oh, shit,
yeah, cat's out, huh?
what forum would, oh, the forum.
The forum, man.
You know, believe it or not, I still peruse the forum from time to time.
Who's your favorite poster?
I know I don't post anymore.
Disturbing. Come on, guys. Come on. All right, let's move it along. 217.
Yeah, that was just creepy.
Hello.
I just
have a bunch of guys that are so gay for you. That's great.
217, you're on the line with Paul. How about a good question here?
Hello.
With Del. Hello.
This is the anti-Googler.
Oh, the anti-Googler.
I had a question.
Yes.
For Paul, is it true that you enjoy hamburger meat?
No, that would be false. False.
Why?
Do not enjoy hamburger meat.
Okay, thank you, Googler.
Anti-Googler.
See, usually the Googler calls in with a question that's a factual truth, but I guess he changed it up.
Flipped the script on us a little bit.
So this guy's like a repeat caller. You guys have like...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Anytime we have a band on, he'll call in and quiz them about things that are obviously... you know, we have Tim from As I Lay Dying, and he calls in and he's like, is it true that you play music?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So now he's the anti-Googler, which means he's going to call in and ask you questions that he knows are not true.
So this is crazy. This is a huge advancement.
I'm very excited.
In the plot.
Yeah, wow.
This is like in Jurassic Park when the raptors learned how to open doors. Now they're completely unstoppable. There's no holding back the Googler now.
Let's move it on. 239, you are on the phone with Paul. What is your question?
Hey, number one, don't cut your hair because it's awesome. Number two, what was your main inspiration behind writing the new album?
First, again, thanks for the compliments on my hair. I gotta say, I owe a lot of it to the kind folks over at Herbal Essences, the health conditioner. And as far as the inspiration, I don't know. You know, we listen to a lot of stuff, man. A lot of old prog records, a lot of heavy stuff. You know, I guess same stuff that influences all our records, but you know, they all come out a little bit different. But right. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think we went back to some of the older, darker elements in the band from the earlier albums, and hopefully made something worth a listen or two.
Cool. Speaking of prog bands, it was just announced that you guys are going to be touring with Cynic and Devin Townsend.
Yeah.
At Scale the Spit, which is pretty much the best tour ever.
I hope so, man. Yeah. We are definitely stoked.
Are you guys headlining the tour?
Yeah, we're headlining, and which is going to feel weird because, you know, most of the guys in our band are we're older, you know, guys. I'm, you know, 30 years old, but you know, Cynic and Devin Townsend, they've been around a lot longer, and
right.
You know, we grew up, you know, listening to that stuff. I mean, you know, Focus, the legendary, you know, Cynic album was like, you know, huge album. That was a huge influence on us. So to be touring with those guys is just a real honor and kind of surreal. And, you know, same with Devin Townsend, man. We just look up to him so much, you know, musically. And he's just such a creative guy. So, yeah, man, it's just going to be an awesome tour. And I think Scale the Summit's going to bring a little bit of the sort of new school prog that's sort of happening right now, the instrumental prog metal. That's becoming pretty popular, so should be a good tour, man. Should be something for everybody, I hope.
Pretty excited.
Yeah.
And let's take a few more callers, because seriously, people are not stopping. 908.
Hello.
You're on the line, Paul. Hello.
I was wondering if Paul, what costs more, your PRS guitar or your PRS tattoo?
The tattoo, actually. Tattoo.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
And I was also wondering why Obscurin sounds like the Doom 2 soundtrack.
The Doom, wait, what?
The video
what
game,
like?
Doom 2?
I don't know anything about it, man. I've got a Nintendo DS. I've got Mario Kart. That's about it.
There we go. All right, thank you for your call. 407. You are now on the line with Paul from Between the Bear and Me. What is your question?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Sean's a faggot?
Okay.
Also, what do you think about Dusty and Breaking Edge?
I didn't hear it. I heard Blake and Dusty, but I didn't hear the rest of it.
I think he said, what do you think of Dusty Breaking Edge? I think that was the question.
Oh, Dusty Breaking Edge? I think he did that when he was like 10 years old. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I don't think I knew him when he broke Edge. But, yeah, man. Dusty's
moving on to something with depth, hopefully. I don't have the call screen. Sorry, yeah, we should really start screening. We usually just get like four calls. So 217. Hopefully this is a good call.
I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for that, like, ultimate, like, offensive question, you know.
Let's see if we can get there.
I'm kind of nervous. I'm, like, a little bit on edge. Every single person that calls in, I'm like, man, is this going to be the one, you know, or he may call, like, personal attack on me or something, or know some sort of deep, dark secret that, you know, I don't know. I'm just waiting for it.
Hope the Googler doesn't call in.
217. Yeah, no.
Let's hear your question.
Did someone mention the Googler?
He's back. Yes, Googler.
Paul, is it true
yes.
You were born February 10th, 1979, and are an avid fan of progressive rock?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
those are both factual, yes. I was born in the 70s.
Thank
I'm
you,
a child
Googler.
Of the 70s.
All right, now
I got
some
a lot of respect for the Googler, man. The Googler is on top of his game.
Yeah, the Googler does his research. I mean, he's not like one of these.
Redeemed himself after the hamburger quote.
He's not like the binger. That guy doesn't do anything.
Now, is it hard, like, you know, you're vegan. Is it hard to find stuff on the road to eat? Or do you guys kind of, like, know spot in, like, every area?
Yeah, we know spots. And, you know, it's gotten a lot easier over the years. I mean, when I first started touring, it was pretty much impossible. And, you know, pretty much just ate nuts and twigs all day long. But, yeah, nowadays it's pretty easy, man. You can go into pretty much any grocery store and they got stuff. And a lot of restaurants popping up that have vegan food. So, yeah, it's not too hard anymore.
So what's your favorite vegan dish?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. Well, I can say that my favorite vegan restaurant is a place in Tucson, Arizona, of all places. And it's called Lovin' Spoonfuls. And it's basically just like soul food, like good old comfort food, but it's all vegan. But they have like country fried steak and, you know, mashed potatoes with gravy and all kinds of delicious stuff that, you know, us vegans don't really get to indulge in very much. So,
what do they use to make steak?
What do they use to make the what?
The steak. Like, how do they make non-meat
they
steak?
Use, well, you, I mean, there's several ways. I can't remember what they use exactly, but there's several ways you can do it. You can use either soy protein, or wheat gluten, which is commonly known as seitan. I want to say they use wheat gluten, but it's very good. It has, you know, a meaty texture. It's very, like, fibrous, for lack of a better word, but it's really delicious. So if anybody's curious about eating some vegan food and you're ever in Tucson, Arizona, look for Lovin' Spoonfuls.
There you go. Let's go back to the lines, see if we can get that question. Someone on Skype is giving us a call because the phone number is 1111111.
Well, you just gave away the guy's home phone number. What the fuck, man?
So if you're talking to us on Skype, you're on the line with Paul.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, Paul, I'm just wondering, I heard you're coming to Toronto in January.
Are we?
I'm just wondering if you could sign my downloaded copy of the album when you're there.
Yeah, I'll be happy to, man.
You're going to have to commit to that now, so.
I mean, I don't know if that would
be... you better be there, like, to sign my the album, because, yeah.
There you go. I wonder if your autograph fits on a flash drive.
The email signature.
All right, let's keep it going. That was close to an awkward question, but 978.
I think it was meant to be offensive, but in all reality, we don't care if you download the record.
Right. I mean, it's not like you're singing anywhere else. You're from Victory.
And most bands don't, because, you know, truth be told, bands don't really get paid off of CD sales. So,
right.
Download away. I don't really give a shit.
There you go. 978, you're on the line. Do you have a question for Paul?
Paul, this is Kanye West. I just want to say The Great Minister Rick is good, but Colors was the best album of all time.
Thanks.
Thank you, Kanye.
All right, Kanye West is a fan.
Welcome to August.
Yeah.
When that joke is funny.
All right.
At least he's trying. He's trying.
If you call that trying, sure.
Wait, we have another call.
Hold on. Let's get him on the line.
Hello, this is the Balloon Boy.
There we go. That's better. That's more timely.
I just want to say, while I was trapped in the garage, I listened to all the Between the Bird and Me albums.
Wow. All right.
You sound like you've grown up, Balloon Boy.
Yeah, I've got a cold.
239, let's get you on the line with Paul. This is your big moment. Don't ruin it. 239, you're on the line.
All right, well, Paul, first off, The Great Misdirect is by far the album of the year. And I want to know, what was your reason between switching from Ibanez to Paul Reed Smith? Because they're completely opposite-feeling guitars.
They are. You're right.
Fair enough.
Well, you know, to answer that question, I still, and I'm not saying this to be, you know, politically correct, I still love Ibanez guitars. I have all of my Ibanez guitars. Never going to sell them. I still love them, but... you know, the direction we were, I guess, moving towards, we needed a more versatile instrument, and, you know, I don't know, PRS sort of, it just sort of fell into our lap, kind of. You know, we met the guy on the Progressive Nation tour, you know, obviously Opeth plays PRS guitar, so we met the guy, he was cool, and and offered to hook us up with some stuff and to try out. And Dusty and I both just sort of fell in love with those guitars, man. And again, not trying to, not going to say anything bad about Ibanez. We still love Ibanez guitars, but yeah, the PRSs, they're just kind of a, I don't know, a more mature, like classier, maybe instrument, and they're just more versatile. So that's why ultimately we decided to go with those.
There you go. Sorry, 239. What was that?
How's the Mesa Mark V treating you?
Oh, I love the Mark V, man. Never thought I would play a non-dual rectifier, but it, man, the Mark V is great.
Highly yeah, I noticed your clean tone was way better live.
Yeah. The clean is much better on the Mark V. That's the big thing, and I think the clean on the Mark V is pretty much based on the Mesa Lone Star, and then. And just in general, you know, it's a punchier, even on the distortion channel, it's a punchier tone. It's a lot more, clear sounding that have the sponginess of the rectifier. So, yeah, I love the Mark V.
There you go. Thank you for your question. Now, Paul, I wanted to tell you something. Earlier we had Greg from the Red Chord on.
My man, Greg.
Well, he had some not so nice things to say about you guys.
He called you a hippie.
Called you a hippie?
He called me a hippie?
Yes, he said one of you guys pushed him once. He said Blake looked at him one day. There's like a feud brewing because obviously your album came out the same week as theirs.
Yeah.
So we were he talked shit on you guys, so you should talk shit on the Red Chord. We'll edit together a little press release. Start
yeah,
a little conscience, spike up album sale.
Greg will be the first to admit the Red Chord is just a bunch of wash-ups. They're, they're all assholes. And Greg will freely admit to this. They're liars, and they're and we've toured with a lot of bands, they are the worst band to tour with. They're grumpy. You know, they even affectionately refer to themselves as massholes, you know. And they're just not a good group of guys, man. And Greg is the leader of the pack. He's a terrible human being. So, I'm not offended by anything that he says. I've been called worse by better, as they say.
I heard the Red Chord actually gave Patrick Swayze cancer. I don't know if that's true.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't put it past them. Terrible group of people.
Now, also, we asked him this, and we want to ask you this. Since your albums come out on the same week, and, you know, with the economy and all, some people can't afford to buy two albums. So which album people buy?
Well, I mean, they should buy ours.
Funny enough, Greg said the same thing.
The same thing meaning yours.
Yours, yeah.
Honestly, they should just download both of them for free. Not buy either of them, just save their money. They should save their money and buy the new Converge.
Ah, another great album. They should just see you guys on tour and buy a shirt. Right?
Yeah, buy a shirt, yeah. We actually get that money, so.
Get more money from a shirt than this.
Yeah.
But then how is Tony Victory going to make rent? If people don't buy your album, come on. Who's going to speak up for Tony Victory?
And what about the dog food for the non-existent dog?
Come on.
The dog isn't real. He doesn't own a dog.
Wait, I have no idea what you're talking about.
On the Victory logo, there's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
The pit bull or whatever. It's not like, it's just a...
Did he say that he owned it?
It was just assumed.
By who?
Me.
Well, let's get to the questions.
We got a ton of... We got 5-6 people on the line.
Jesus.
We're going to have to let Paul go pretty soon. I know these people are just really into you, man. Let's go with 509. That's a area code I haven't recognized. 509, we're on the line.
Okay. I have a question for Paul. There's, like, really long songs in The Great Misdirect. Do you, like, sit through recording all of the riffs, or do you, like, cut and paste?
We don't cut and paste. That would be cheating. But we do, we record, you know, some things in segments. I mean, we don't just roll tape or roll hard drive, I guess, nowadays. And play all the riffs, you know. We do, you know, bits and pieces, you know, but... We don't cut and paste. Everything you hear is actually played. We don't record one measure and then
you know, reproduce it digitally four times, you know, to complete the phrase. We everything is played, but yeah, we record things in chunks.
I wanted to ask you as well, how do you know, like, writing like a 10-minute song, how do you know when the song is done?
Good question.
How do you know, like, all right, let's move on to that. Or did you write this as like a whole album?
This one's more, you know, we just wrote songs, whereas Colors sort of wrote, you know, the whole thing as one piece. But this we definitely just sort of wrote as individual songs. And I don't know, I think, you know, to be honest, we just got so used to writing long songs that now it just happens, you know. Like when we wrote that, the last song on the album, Swim to the Moon, I mean, when we were writing it, it didn't feel like we were, you know, that it was that long. And then we recorded, like, a demo of it. We were like, Christ, this thing's like 18 minutes, you know. So I don't know, I feel like we've just gotten used to doing that.
And you guys just get so into it.
I guess so, or, you know, there's always, like, I think a lot of it, too, is, like, all of us write, you know, so everybody's got another idea, you know. Everybody's like, oh, and then we can do this, so, you know, and then we end up doing it because, you know, we don't care. It's not like we're trying to write a radio hit or anything. So, I mean, we just do it, and we don't really care, you know.
So everyone sort of comes in with, like, parts to a song, and then you guys kind of, like, put it together as a group, like, jam it out? Is that how it works?
Yeah, you know, everybody kind of writes on their own, and then bring stuff to the table, and you know, it might start out with like a really simple idea, or it might, you know, somebody might come in with like 3 or 4 minutes of music that's, you know, written, and we just sort of build from that. And, yeah, we'll sort of go from there. But yeah, everybody always has ideas, it seems like, which is a good thing. But yeah, it leads to some pretty long songs.
Cool. All right, we have a few more callers. I believe the Googler is on the line.
Hello.
Googler, are you there?
This is not the Googler.
Uh-oh.
This is the insulter.
Uh-oh.
Here's that call I've been worried about.
I have a statement for Paul.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Go eat a hamburger, you vegan hippie bastard. Okay, thank you.
Below the belt.
Wow.
Below the belt.
He could have done better than that, man. I'm disappointed.
Okay.
I was hyped up about that guy for a while. Now I'm disappointed.
Yeah. All that hype.
I could have done much better than that.
All right. 407, do you have a good question or perhaps an insult for Paul?
Hi, this is BMP trying to redeem myself. I just have one question, not so much trying to hit on Paul, but what do you think about Rolling Stones rating The Great Mr. X as the worst album of 2009? One of the worst, I'm sorry.
What?
Did they really do that?
The Great Mr. X is one of the worst albums of 2009. It was ridiculous, but yeah.
Well, that's fine with me. I don't care.
Like, when has Rolling Stone magazine been relevant? When
yeah,
was the last
it's
time?
Been a few decades.
Yeah, thank you, 407.
I'm actually amazed that somebody at Rolling Stone heard the album.
Yeah, look at it that way, right?
That's quite an accomplishment for us.
I'm sure a lot of BT Band fans read Rolling Stone religiously, too.
Yeah.
So really, it's a market share.
big metal publication.
Right.
It just came in on the wire. Between the Buried and Me rated Rolling Stone the worst magazine of 2009.
I wonder what Cat Fancy thinks of your band.
They loved it.
Any other irrelevant magazines?
Because Jet? What is Jet magazine? Yes,
any animal magazine love, because they're not in danger of being eaten by anyone in the band.
Cigar aficionado loved your magazine. They're your band. So that's something.
Sports Illustrated loved it.
Sports, of course. 845, I think you're on the air now. Can you hear us? Can we hear you?
Hello?
Yes,
hello.
You're on the air.
You can hear me?
Yep.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Were you born on February 10th, 1979?
Yes, this has been established.
We already asked that. We have a Googler imposter.
We have a repeater.
Do you have long hair still?
I still do have long hair. It is getting longer by the day. Yes, sir.
Wow, unbelievable.
Someone's trying to pick up the pieces.
Unbelievable.
Of the Googler.
What's happening? All right, we still have four numbers on. Oh, five. Say something and stick with it. Let's just let's just take two more callers and then we'll let Paul go. How about that? Is that cool, Paul?
Hey, man, that's fine, man.
You got somewhere to be?
No, man. I'm sitting here by the fire. I got a nice little fire built outside on this little patio.
Oh,
Sitting by the fire.
You own your own house?
I do, but I'm actually at our drummer's house, which is actually his parents' house. Yeah, our drummer lives with his parents.
Wow.
But,
you heard it first.
But he's much younger than I am. I'm 30 years old. I have no good reason to live with my parents. if I could, I would, but, you know.
So, you got that caller? Oh, yeah, let's get him on. No, who are we putting on?
Let's put 816.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
You guys there?
Yep.
All right. I got three questions for you, Paul.
First three, right?
They'll be fast, all right. Seems like a lot of bands in this genre, you know, detune the guitars or mess around with seven. I was wondering why you guys came upon C-sharp, you know? Why that tuning?
You're probably not going to like this answer because it's extremely obscure, but back when I first started when I first started getting into, you know, metal, there was a North Carolina band called Day of Suffering, and you guys have probably never heard of them, but awesome band, but they weren't around for very long, and they tuned to C sharp just for some reason. And so I just started doing it so I could play their songs, and it just stuck, man. We've been playing in C sharp ever since.
Okay. You were talking about the recording process earlier. I was curious, what part took the most takes, and how many takes did it take?
That's an awesome question. I wish I had an answer. I don't remember, but probably, Christ, man. I mean, it would definitely be some part in Swim to the Moon, I'm sure, because, man, pretty much every part is beast, and that's fine. You know, I don't know. Probably some sort of solo or something, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. There's some parts that I've, you know, come pretty close to just throwing my guitar through the window and calling it a career. There's definitely some parts that took, you know,
all right.
30, 40
so
takes.
My final 40.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right, final question then. Since I'm a member of your message board, you know, I'm eating Cheetos all the time, and I got the cheese all over my fingers. You know, what's the best way to get off my fingers?
Just a nice quality soap. You know, soap and water. Maybe Dial.
Okay, that's good.
Dial
soap. You know, I'm in my parents' basement 24/7, and I just can't get out.
Yeah, it's hard to get out of there, you know. You get logged onto the net, find a good message board. Yeah, it's hard to leave. I want to leave.
Yep. All right, well, I'll try to leave eventually.
All right.
Good luck, sir. Thank you for calling in. Let's take 203. How about that?
Wait, trying.
Real quick, what happened with the guitar tone on Alaska?
Oh, God.
No, that's a good question, man. I'm not offended by that. We had someone else mix that record, and you know, different guys like different things. He wanted to reamp the guitars with a different amp that we're not really into, and you know, just didn't come out like we wanted. But you know, there's deadlines and this and that, and basically we didn't have hands were kind of tied, so it came out like it is. What's that?
Are you planning to remaster it?
You know, there's actually a, it probably will never come out, but we have remixed that album just for our own personal satisfaction, and it sounds awesome. So whether or not it'll come out to the light of day is probably not a good chance, but yeah, we did that just for our own personal interest.
All right, cool. Thank you for calling in.
I have a question. Am I allowed to ask questions, too?
I guess you're a call.
You have to call in.
So I've seen Between the Buried and Me several times. And usually when I go to shows, I'm like one of those people that stands with their hands crossed and likes to look at the bands on stage. But every single Between the Buried and Me show has been so crazy in the audience. Like, I think we've seen you at Hellfest, and like people started like storming the stage and stuff. And I've always wondered, like, do the musicians enjoy that? Like, would you rather people watch your performance and, you know, like, see what you guys are doing? Because obviously it's not just three chords that you're playing. You're obviously playing something very intimate. So I just wanted to see what your take was on that, on the audience's reaction.
That's a good question, because I think, you know, especially as you get older as a musician, you would rather, or at least you think you would rather people just, you know, watch you and be interested in hearing the music or whatever. But at the same time, sometimes when you play live and if that's the case, you know, if people are just sort of standing there looking at you, you feel like you played badly or, you know, didn't put on a good show or whatever. You know, after the show, you're like, why didn't anybody move around? So, you know, sometimes you feel like validated if people are punching each other and going crazy. But yeah, I'd like to say that I would prefer people to just watch us. But, you know, to be honest, I feel like we play better and put on a better show when people are, you know, punching themselves and going crazy. So I don't know. It's sort of a double-edged sword. I don't know what I would prefer. You know, because we did that Dream Theater tour, and a lot of those venues were like sit-down theaters. You know, and it was a little bit awkward, I gotta say. But right. I don't know.
Were like the older Dream Theater fans like into you guys? Were they feeling it?
Oh no, not at all. Not at all.
Dream Theater fans have to, like, they hit themselves in the chest and stuff, and then they have their pacemakers break.
Well, you know, the Dream Theater tour, like, they sold, like, these VIP tickets, and those people got to sit, you know, at the very front. And those are, like, the diehard Dream Theater fans. So, like, when we played, I mean, they were just, like, I mean, they stared at us like we had, you know, tumors growing out of our heads or something. You know, it was just like it was so awkward, man. And a lot of them were like older guys, you know, in their 40s or 50s or whatever. So I almost felt sorry for them. I was like, God, these poor bastards paid like, you know, $150 for this ticket, and they got to sit through this garbage, you know. But so yeah, you know, it was you know, a few of those shows are a little rough, just because, you know, the only people you see are the first couple rows, and those are the people that probably hate you the most. So, yeah.
All right. All right, let's take one final question because we're running pretty low on time. Let's see who we got here. Should we take another Skype question? Let's take the Skype person. Skype. Oh, sounds like you're in a storm.
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
This is Dusty Warren. Now I want to ask if you can fucking stop eating cookies in the bed, you motherfucking bitch.
What? I'm not going to answer that question. That wasn't really a question, but I will say this, that a fox, a real-life fox, just ran past me.
Oh, wow.
I think they're both out.
The closest I've ever been to a fox in person.
What is that wind? Okay.
That's what this call is, isn't it?
Nature scene.
A little storm. 661, you are the last question. Let's make it a good one. 661?
Yeah.
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just wondering, are you guys going to come out with some sort of guitar tab book for The Great Misdirect?
I think we probably will. If I can ever get the motivation to do one. Those things take forever to write out, but yeah, I think we probably will.
All right.
Just not sure
there
when,
you go.
But yeah, definitely. We'll have one.
All right. One last one, cause this dude's annoying me in the chat room. 239. Let's go to this dude and then we're done. 239.
All right. Sorry. What solo is Paul's and what solos are Dusty's? Because I thought the first one sounded like Dusty's tone, and then it went to Paul's, but then when I saw the DVD, it said it was Paul's. So which solos is Paul's, and which solos is Dusty?
Okay, in Swim to the Moon, the first solo is mine, And then there's a second one that comes in with like a brighter tone and a like a wah pedal sort of, and that one is also mine.
Right.
And then Dusty's comes in.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. I know I keep saying last one, but this guy's been in the chat room for like 4 hours, so I feel bad. Let's take it. 407.
Hi,
407, this better be good.
Hi, Paul.
Yes, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I have one quick, it's a two-part question, really. When are you guys going to get off Victory? And what are the chances of you guys joining Rise Records? Because I would love to see you guys tour with Attack Attack. They're my favorite band.
Oh, the comedy, I hope.
Well, I guess I can answer the first question. We're still on Victory Records, so I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll see. I don't know if we'll leave Victory or not or whatever, but this album's on Victory, and you know, we're gonna see how it does. So we will
there
see from there.
Plus, you don't have to be on Rise Records to tour with Attack Attack. You guys can set that up anyway, right, guys?
No. You have to be on. You can only tour with bands on your label.
Well, you know why?
That's why you're touring with us.
It costs a lot of money to hire all those power squatters to go on the stage. They have 40 professional power squatters while they play.
You know, I've never even heard the band. I'm so out of the loop, man. I don't know.
No, you're better off.
You're really
well,
not missing.
Here's what you do. Take every band from every genre and play them all at the same time, and that's Attack Attack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have been to the Rise Records website, and I was not impressed with the roster. I checked it out. You know, Bleeding Through signed to Rise Records, and Bleeding Through are good friends of ours. And so I was like, oh, they signed to Rise Records. Let me check this out. And, man, it's pretty rough. Pretty rough dance on that label.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a shit talker, but, man, yeah, pretty rough stuff going on there.
It's not shit talk when it's truth.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
All right. Well... anyway, so Paul, thank you so much for calling in.
My pleasure,
and,
man. I had no idea that this was like some sort of live radio thing, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, we just started doing this like a little under a year ago.
Yeah, December will be a year.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been. This is your segment has definitely been the most responded to segment. Like we have never had this many callers.
Oh well, that's awesome. Man.
Lines are blowing up for you.
Well, that's awesome. I'm stoked I could be a part of it, and I feel relieved, man. I felt like I was just like on the hot seat. I was just, like I said, I was waiting for that call with somebody with some crazy, you know, personal attack, but it never really happened. So stoked.
Well, they did say you were
called pretty well.
Right. Thanks. The insulter, though, he got you pretty good with the eating meat.
I don't know. I don't know if he got me. I mean, I could have been gotten much harder, I think.
Right. Well, cool. Thanks again for calling in. And do you have a favorite track on the new CD?
You know, I'm already pretty sick of all of them.
Right.
But, you know, I think track four is my favorite, Fossil Genera.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's a hot number for me.
My early favorite, like I haven't really consumed the record yet. But my early favorite is Disease, Injury, Madness.
Rob, you're not supposed to eat it.
Yeah. What? You know what I mean.
That's another one. I like that one a lot, too.
Yeah. There's always a part, like, in the middle. There's, like, a change. Always gets me, like, headbanging really hard.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks again for calling in. We would play a track, but they all would make us go over our allotted time. So we can play a little snippet. We'll play a little snippet.
Yeah, play a clip.
Fossil Genera. And thanks again, Paul, for calling in. Make sure you guys are playing a Halloween show, right? Coming up
we are.
Hometown.
In Asheville, yes.
Yeah, so check that out. And then you guys are going to be on the road with Cynic, Devin Townsend Project, and Scale of Summit. That is a tour not to be missed. Are you guys going to be playing this from beginning to end on the tour?
We haven't decided yet if we're going to do that or not. You know, we did that with the Colors album. We actually got a lot of caught a lot of flack for that because people wanted to hear other songs, and we didn't really play them. So I don't know what we're going to do.
I think you guys should just play the old records, beginning to end.
Yeah, we'll probably not play any new stuff.
Yeah, just the first record.
Has anybody ever done that? Toured in support of a new CD and then not played anything off of that CD?
It would be ballsy. It would be revolutionary.
I think when Saint Anger came out, Metallica did that.
A friend of mine just saw Metallica with Lamb of God. He said they didn't play anything off Saint Anger.
Yeah, they haven't been doing that since, like, I think the first tour they played it and that was it. But, like, do they sound, like, really old now or what?
He said they sounded great, man. He said they played a lot of old shit and they sounded good, so.
That's good, because every video I've seen kind of turns me off to seeing them, but, I mean, I still am anxious to see if they could actually have any energy, you know, live.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I definitely wouldn't really pay to see them, but,
But we have ways of getting in.
Yeah, you guys got hookups.
Right. All right, thanks again, man, and, good luck.
Enjoy your bonfire.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it, and we'll see you soon.
There you go. Paul from Between the Bear and Me calling in. Great guy, great band, wonderful people. Thanks to all the callers as well. We still have people on the line. Let's just cycle through these people and be like, hello, goodbye. 908, hello.
Hello.
Goodbye.
Bye.
785, hello.
Damn the Mexican man.
One. Goodbye.
One.
There we go. Hello, goodbyes. That was the show. There was a point where my home phone number was on the screen. I didn't understand what that was about.
What are we taking? I knew it. I had a feeling it was your mom.
I don't want my mom
calling
the show.
Why not?
Hold on. We got her on the line.
Robert. What is this buried between the bird and me? You're going to be buried?
She probably wanted to hook your sister up with Paul. Sounds like a nice young man.
He owns a house.
Yeah.
He has money. 407. Oh, 407 and 908. Let's do what's going on? Oh, we only have a minute left. 407, really? Hello, goodbye. 407.
Wait, this is BMP1 and my goodbye, so.
Goodbye. 908, hello.
You let them talk.
908-307.
Because when they say something, then we hang up on them, so.
908?
Oh, you hung up on me!
One. The other 908. 908-319.
Hello.
Hi, what area, what zip code is this? Zip code area?
Peaky Dam Form, all the way. Hell yeah.
Goodbye. 60 seconds left of a live stream. So.
Well,
play the Slayer now.
Well, no.
For a minute.
Well,
are
we
going to
play
time.
Between the Bear and
yeah.
Me?
We'll just play it on. We'll just play it between the Bear and Me.
Oh, it's your home phone number again, Rob. Pick it up.
Oh, no.
Come on. Hello. Hello.
I'm here.
718.
Hello.
It's your mom just breathing.
Does Darth Vader live in your house?
My mom.
Who is it?
Hello.
Robert, I am your father.
All right, hang on.
No. What is this? What's going on? What are your parents
20 seconds.
Doing? No, we can do overtime. This is a mission.
No, they're going to cut off.
Look inside your heart. You know to be true.
Someone in my house is just really bored.
Or I guess just killed the last minute of our show. Thank you.
Wait, I think we could still take calls. It's 845. Can we take the call?
Let Noah click on it first.
Can we take it?
No.
Sorry,
845.
Wait.
Hello?
845?
Hello?
Who is this?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Goodbye.
We've been hello goodbye.
Darn.
All right, let's 402, last caller.
Wait, let's go back to your home phone number.
No one there.
718?
No one there.
Rob.
Does your mom have laryngitis or something?
What is going on?
I think my phone number is being ghosted because that sounds like nobody in my house.
Who would ghost your phone number, though? How is that even?
Who would have your phone number in the first place and then ghost it?
Hello?
Rob.
Is it true this is your phone number?
Whoa! The Googler just crossed a line.
What?
Wow. The Googler.
Yes, that was my phone number.
And how the hell is he on? We have no callers on the board.
The call is coming from inside the house. The call is coming from inside the house.
Googler just killed your entire family.
Oh, wow. That is so creepy. Oh, Googler. I thought we were boys.
The Googler just became a serious superhero.
Oh, Googler.
Or a mass killer.
I just peed myself a little, not in a good way. Googler. Is it true that we're all moving now?
Yes.
Is it true that we're all changing
our phone numbers?
Thank you.
Thank you, Googler. Wow.
What a reveal. I think that should be the episode title. Rob, is it true that this is your phone number?
Oh,
no, but how do you do that? How do you do that?
I have no idea.
Is it possible? Without him being
we
in
should,
the house?
We should. I got it. We should Google it.
Do you have, like, your home phone number posted?
Damn it, Google's not working! He's disabled it!
Anyway.
Wow.
That was a great show. Goodbye.
That was a fantastic show. Thank you very much to Paul from Between the Buried and Me, Greg from the Red Cord, people from the BT Bam Forum blowing up our chat room, and thank you to everyone else.
Ew.
Just burped some beer. Thank you to the Googler, the anti-Googler, the insulter, but Googler, you went too far today.
Yeah, that was sort of not cool.
But, let's end the show on a high note in that I'm going to get high and listen to this track from Between the Buried and Me.
I'm going to go into a different room.
I put my metallic dick in your face.
Yeah. Literally Pakistani.
We are back!
I came about.
We are...
Got copies in advance.
We are back. We have an amazing show tonight.
When
parents of these two kids sued the band Judas Priest. Two kids that were you know the story about the
This is
the rainbow sprinkle. Shove the
metal injection line.
Again, yes, it was.
Ooh.
No.